which is a state charge, then we blow up our whole investigation, not to mention the fact that he's not a U.S. citizen. Trying to extradite him would take months or longer, and in the meantime, he'd move pieces around so that we'd have to start our work with him all over again. We can't. I'm sorry. I pull myself free of Tyler's grip and get right in Ricky's face. Fuck you.
Okay,
Tyler says, pulling me back. I jerk free again and throw myself back onto the couch. Tyler goes on.
Look, what are you doing here today? What do you want?
Ricky looks around, then spies a chair across from the couch.
May I sit?
Whatever, I say, panning my hand to the chair. Ricky places himself in the chair and looks at me.
Maddie, I've been working this thing for a year and a half, and in that time, I've known Carlos to be singularly focused on running his business and keeping his competition in place. He eats, drinks, and sleeps work. Talks about nothing else.
So, what does that have to do with? I start.
Until you, he interrupts.
If Ricky Ramirez, Martinez, whatever his last name is, wanted my attention, he has it now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, says Tyler. Fuck are you talking about? He's obsessed with Maddie. He talks about her all the time. Maddie, he doesn't care about the money you owe him. He wants you.
Well, yeah, I say. I kind of figured that out when he tried to abduct me.
No, that's my point. He doesn't try. He doesn't negotiate with anyone. Nobody leaves unless he wants them to. That he let you walk away? Like, I'm saying he's in love with you, Maddie.
Holy fucking hell. This cannot be happening. And suddenly, I have a very bad feeling that I know where this is all headed. So, what do you want from me? I ask suspiciously.
I'd like to ask you to help the United States government build its case against the Carlos Castillo drug cartel by telling Carlos that you couldn't get together the money you owe him and that you're willing to make good on your promise to be with him.
There's a faint ringing in my ears, like something loud just happened next to me and it's going to take a while to get my hearing back. The next thing I can make out clearly is Tyler's voice saying,
I'm sorry. You think you're gonna get my girlfriend involved in your little government scheme to bring down a Mexican drug lord?
That's exactly what Ricky thinks. Clearly. And, wait, did Tyler just call me his girlfriend?
It's neither little nor is it a scheme, says Ricky. It's a massive government operation that has already cost us millions of dollars and thousands of man-hours. And what's missing for us to make our case is how Carlos is transporting his drugs. What do you mean how?
Tyler asks.
He's not flying anything. He doesn't use tunnels like his competitors, or at least none that we've been able to ID, and... And what? Maddie's a fucking expert in drug trafficking methods all of a sudden? No. But Maddie might be the one person we've found who's in a position to get the critical intel we need.
Then Ricky takes a breath and says,
Look, I know it sounds ridiculous, but sometimes to catch the bad guys we have to paint outside the lines. It's not ideal, I get it, but she'll be providing a service to her country, and I'll be there the whole time in case things go sideways. Okay,
Tyler says, walking over to Ricky and staring down at him like he's gonna, I don't know, choke him until he dies, maybe?
First of all, this card, he says, holding up the business card, is bullshit. I need a badge, and then I need a supervisor, and then I'm gonna need a meeting with the supervisor, and then, maybe, if all that shit checks out, we can talk about how I, not her, but I, might help you. But until that happens, fuck you.
Well, Ricky says,
I appreciate that, but unfortunately, that can't happen. The deal is that I've got a lot of latitude to run this operation. So this is my call. Buck stops with me. Okay. Then get the fuck out.
Tyler is serious. Like, I haven't seen him in soldier mode or anything, but I've gotten glimpses of that particular side of him, and this is that side. This, right here,
is who he's become since he left home all those years ago. Dead fucking serious, I will kill you, Tyler Morgan. Wait, I say, throwing the pillow aside and standing up. You're trying to take down Carlos?
We very much are, Ricky says, still calm.
And Logan? I ask.
I mean, certainly he'll also go down if we can get Carlos.
I chew on my lip, thinking about this.
No,
Tyler says, coming to stand in front of me, blocking my view of Ricky with his body.
No, Maddie, not happening. We already agreed to just pay these nutsuckers the money you owe them and have that be the end of it. It won't be the end of it, says Ricky. I assure you. Sorry, but that's the truth.
I step to Tyler and put my hands on his chest. They killed Pete, Tyler, and Jeff, and who knows how many other people. Tyler looks into my eyes and then says,
Fuck this, and starts pacing. Fuck this, fuck this. We need you, Maddie, Ricky says. And if you, fuck this, Tyler yells, can get him to trust you, get the fuck out, and get him to think you're on his side. We can get him, Maddie. We can get him and Logan and all of them. All you gotta do is,
Tyler jumps at Ricky, grabs him by his sweater and pulls him up out of the chair. Ricky doesn't resist, just looks like he's bracing himself for another punch. Tyler screams at him.
The fuck are you talking about? No. The fucking answer is no.
And then, out of nowhere, the devil pops up on my shoulder, smiling, dancing a little jig. Yes, he hisses in my ear. Yes, this is perfect. And he's right. It is, isn't it? Payback, I say, redirecting my gaze from Ricky to Tyler. Tyler, still holding Ricky's sweater, looks at me.
What?
He asks. This is how we get our payback for Pete, and for Jeff, and for all the other people Carlos Castillo has fucked with and killed over the years.
No, 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 says Tyler. What are you saying?
I'm saying. My eyes shift back to Ricky. My answer is yes.
Chapter 5 Tyler. My grip on Ricky DEA's sweater remains tight, but it's less a threat and more so that I don't fall immediately to my knees when I let go. What the fuck is going on? Maddie, I say, but she just keeps talking to Ricky.
What do we do? How do we start? When do I go? Do I go with you now?
Ricky taps me on the fist that's still holding his sweater and I finally let him loose, trading places with him in the seat I just yanked him up from. He says, The Christmas deadline you guys have in place is coming up, and he's going to expect something. This is probably our best shot if we don't want him to get too suspicious. If he thinks you're going to him because you can't get the money together, we can likely sell it. We'll need a few days to brief you and get you ready for what you'll be doing. I'd like longer, but we don't have it, so we'll just have to do the best we can. Fuck this. I can't keep it in. The best we fucking can, I shout. That does not sound like what you want for someone when you're sending them into battle. Petty Officer Morgan, we know you haven't completed your diver training or ordnance disposal courses, but we're gonna just toss you out there in the field anyway with IEDs and chemical weapons and so forth and just have you do the best you can. You can hear how that sounds stupid, right?
Ty,
Maddie starts. But she can wait for a second. She had her shot to be worked up. It's my turn. I stand up, rip off my tie, because it's fucking choking me to death, and throw it on the ground. Fuck it. I'll buy Evan a new one. I pop the collar on the shirt and get right in Ricky's face. We're about the same height, so we're basically nose to nose. I don't know what the fuck they teach you assholes at the DEA, but this is not how shit is done. Read me? You were in the military? I was. Yeah, which branch? Army. Oh, well, of fucking course you were. And what was your job, besides getting punched by Rangers? Were you a fucking Ranger? For a while, he says. Fuck does that mean? It means that I left the Rangers. Why, to do what? I was recruited by 1st SFODD. That's what I did before I got out. 1st SFODD. Special Forces Operational Detachment Delta? Seriously? You were a fucking Delta Force operator? I ask him. I was. You were a fucking Delta Force operator and went through everything that becoming that entails, and yet somehow you think it's a fucking banner idea to send an untrained woman into what is basically a combat operation? What does me being a woman have to do with it? Maddie asks sharply. Oh, fuck. That's not... nothing. No, she says. You made a point of saying woman. Like that has particular meaning. You somehow think because I'm a woman I won't be able to handle it? Jesus Christ. No, I say, taking a breath. It's not because you're a woman. You just happen to be a woman. You are, in fact, a woman, I continue pointing out. But the more relevant fact to this conversation is that you're not trained. She eyes me. I don't know if she buys it, but I don't give a shit. I mean it. Hey, look, I continue. I trained with two female techs in EOD school, and I'd take either of them any day over half the jagoffs I graduated with. They were the fucking tits at the job. Oh, fuck me. Not the tits. I mean, they were, but not... it's just an expression. Fuck it. My point is, you'd be amazing at anything you do, but everybody who does anything needs training. All I'm saying. It's intel, says Ricky DEA casually from out of nowhere. What? I ask, annoyed. It's not a combat operation. It's intel gathering. Look, I will make sure that if it starts to look even a little hot, we get her the fuck out of there. And how will you do that? I ask him. Nobody knows you're here, right? You're in deep cover. How the hell will you get her out? Tyler, it's Tyler, right? I nod. Tyler, at the end of the day, I do still work for a major U.S. government agency. We have tools at our disposal. And she's not going in completely cold. My Vegas counterpart and I will give her a crash course. Crash course? Fucking super! I can't believe this. Besides, he says, I've seen her handle herself with Castillo. I don't think it's her you should be worried about. And then he smiles one of those charming good guy smiles that I normally just want to punch off someone's face, but somehow on this dude, I don't mind it. I don't know why. Maybe because he was Delta, whatever. Tyler, Maddie steps to me. I need to do this. Okay? I need to. She takes my hand in hers and intertwines our fingers. Looking into her eyes, I can see the need she's talking about. I can see it. Her expression projects the truth that what she needs is so much greater than just avenging Pete or getting even with Carlos or anything as small and petty as that. It's about the need she has to stand strong. To lift herself up and move forward again. Finally, after all this time. Well, she sure picked one hell of a coming out party for herself. I get it, I whisper. I just... Dude, can you fucking go so we can talk about this shit, please? I say to my new pal, Ricky. He nods. Do you have a piece of paper? He asks. Maddie gets him one, and he grabs a pen from his other cargo pocket. He writes something down and hands it to her. This is the number to ring if you do decide you want to help us out. The woman who will answer is called Emily. Is that her real name? Asks Maddie. It's the only one I've ever called her. That's not an answer, I point out. He nods. I know. And as he grabs the door handle, he says, I'm sorry this is happening for you, Maddie. I really am. He pulls the door open and pauses in the doorway. But I suppose we're also lucky it is you and not somebody else. Give a call when you're ready to get going. And then, he's gone. Chapter 6. Tyler and Maddie. The second the door swings shut behind Ricky DEA, she grabs her cell phone and starts dialing the number he left. And now I'm chasing her around the house like a maniac trying to get the phone out of her hand. I feel like we're in a fucking Laurel and Hardy movie. Maddie, stop, just stop and let me fucking stop! I finally secure the phone away from her and she spins on her heels and stares at me. Give me my phone, she says. I hold it so that she can't reach it. Give me my phone! I suddenly wish Caroline and Diane were here. I would never, in a million years, harm a hair on Maddie's head, so it would be nice if there were someone else around to pull her off when she goes ham on me in a second. Maddie, please, just give me a second. I just want to talk about this with you, please. She grabs my dick, which was starting to flag, but is roused back into action by her touch, squeezes, and says, give me my phone, or I will rip your nuts off. Okay, I say, and I throw the phone across the room. She shouts, what is wrong with you? It's supposed to be a bad thing. Sorry, I say, shrugging. But are you still gonna jerk on my dick until you rip it off? Because I totally think you should. I deserve it. I smile a toothy smile at her, and she lets go of my cock and flops back onto the sofa, which is a massive letdown for me. Fuck, she calls out. Am I crazy for wanting to do this? I mean, yeah, I say matter-of-factly, as I sit at the end of the sofa, pulling her feet onto my lap and unbuckling her shoes. But I think I have to. You get that, right? She asks, looking at me earnestly. Yeah, I get it. I wish I fucking didn't, but I do, I say, as I drop one shoe to the floor, then the other, and begin massaging her feet. She lets out, dropping her head back on a throw pillow. See, I say, you think Carlos will do this shit for you? She lifts her head and props herself on her elbows. Are you jealous? Is that what this is about? No, dummy, I say, flicking her big toe with my finger. Ow, fucker, I'm not like you. I feel pain and shit. Sorry, I say, kissing her toe. You can stab me with something if you want. You'd like it, she grins. What, is that weird? I ask, kissing the other four toes now. Tyler, stop, she says. I do stop, I don't wanna, but I do. She gets a serious look and says, you really do understand? I have to do this. Yeah, I acquiesce. I understand, I just... What? What is it? You just what? Say it. I can feel my heart beating in my dick. And not just because it's throbbing with want for her. My whole body is pulsing. I just... love you, Maddie. And there's about a million ways something like this can go wrong. And if anything happens to you, I'll kill myself. It's not any more complicated than that. But that's not something a person needs to hear. Because it's selfish. And manipulative. And unfair. So, I don't know what I'll fucking do. Sure. That's close enough.
He loves me. He just said he loves me. He said it before, but it was desperate, from a place of panic. This is different. He's not panicked. He's worried, because he loves me. I smile, but turn my head into the couch to hide it. It's not like I planned this. It's not like I set out to seduce him. It's not like I've been dreaming of a Tyler and Maddie wedding since I was 8. Really. But I've always loved him. In different ways throughout the years, but love is love. He was the perfect brother's best friend crush when I was a kid. I have always thought him cute. He was skinny once, lanky and lean, more like a runner or a cyclist, not bulked up like a soldier. But that was a long time ago. Tyler grew up first, it seemed, before Scotty or Evan. He just burst into manhood when all the other kids were still boys. He became tall before my eyes. He filled in, started lifting weights in his garage, He was the first to grow a beard, and that makes me smile even wider. It was a stupid beard, and I made fun of him. But he never took it personally. It was a joke, something sweet. Like the way he called me Mads and made fun of my temper. Something just between us. And even though he looks nothing like the kid I once knew, this is better. He's even better than he was. Because he's seen stuff and done stuff and learned stuff. And he's still here. He came back. Not for me, I know that. But he came home, alive. And that's better. Tyler Morgan is a good man, and I don't base that off some childhood crush. Everything he's done since we reconnected tells me all I need to know. Tells me he's one of the good guys. That's what I've been telling you too, Angel says. And I wish I had the words to tell him that right now, because I have a feeling he doesn't believe it. But I don't have the words. And it's not the time. He just said he loves you, Angel says. It's the perfect time.
What?
Tyler asks.
What's with the face?
Remember that time when I was like 6 and...
Yes?
Tyler's face widens with a grin. Liar! You didn't even let me finish!
My answer is still yes.
I was 6, I say again. And I was sitting out on the front stoop crying over something. I don't even remember. And you came out of your garage. You were on your bike, going somewhere. Wherever boys go on bikes. And you saw me, and you stopped, and you put that bike down, and you sat next to me, and you said,
I'm selling smiles. Do you want to buy one?
I buy one right now. Yeah, you said that.
And you bought one.
I did. It was a good one, too. Lasted me all day.
Your fish, he says.
What? I ask, pulling myself out of the past.
You won that goldfish at the carnival, and it died the next day. You were crying over that goldfish.
I look at Tyler Morgan, see him for who he was back then, who he is now. Cherish all the memories and appreciate the fact that he's been a part of all the most important moments in my life, even when he wasn't. Because some people just stay with you, you know? Some people just find a place in your heart and call it home. So I ask, you love me?
I'm still rubbing her feet, but sort of absently, looking at her sweet, sweet face that suddenly looks like it's about to welcome tears to start falling. I shrug one shoulder and say, yeah, sorry, it's true. She gulps, lets out a huff of air through her nose and says,
I love you too.
And that's it. I grab her wrists and pull her into my lap. The fluffy black material at the bottom of her dress spills out around us. She takes my face in her hands and begins kissing me with a reckless hunger, which is fine, because I'm starving for her too, and we can both feed the other with what we desire. She's rocking back and forth against my erection, and the feel of her tight pussy rubbing against the light cashmere of the $14,000 suit pants I'm wearing is like being wrapped in a cloud. But since I absolutely do not want to come in Evan's suit, I lift her to the side and place her on her back on the sofa again. Hold on, I say. She looks up at me, rubbing her feet together, nibbling at her bottom lip, and every stitch of clothing I remove feels like it takes forever. First, I kick off the shoes, taking off the jacket as I do and tossing it on the chair that sits across from the couch. Then I rip the socks off and toss them aside and unbutton the dress shirt, popping the cufflinks loose last, and toss it on the chair as well. Me standing in front of her, wearing only the trousers, causes her to say, you're so fucking sexy. Do you know that? Nah, I say. You're just seeing reflected glow. I wink at her as I unbuckle the belt and let it hang there. I snap open the trouser button, unzip the pants, and then pull them off along with the boxer briefs I put on because I was wearing another dude's clothes. I am nothing if not courteous. Everybody says so. And toss them to the side with everything else. Then I take my cock in my hand and stroke it back and forth, watching her imagine that my hand is her mouth.
I don't know where Caroline and Diane are, she tells me. They could be home any minute.
I can't imagine they'll be shocked. They are hookers and all. I don't know if they've ever seen a cock like that one, she says, tilting her head. You mean that in a good way, right? She giggles and nods. I bend down to my knees.
What are you doing?
She asks. I don't answer. Just take her feet up with my hands and begin kissing them again and then sucking on them, placing one big toe in my mouth and swirling my tongue around, then putting the next in along with the first, allowing my tongue to slide in the slender, delicate crevices that separate them. She whines with pleasure and giggles as I lap and tickle the skin that lives here at the base of her amazing body. And suddenly I am reminded of the first night she and I reconnected, without knowing it was a reconnection. That night in the VIP room at Pete's, which is no more. I remember that when I held her hands, I considered them, studied them, wanted to learn and know them. And that's what I'm doing now. I want to start at the bottom of her and work my way up, learning every possible millimeter of her flesh, every line, curve, angle, perceived imperfection, everything. And so, in looking at her feet, as I nip at her toes and she wriggles and moans, I notice a scar running along the back of her heel. Where'd you get that? I pause to ask.
What? The scar, here.
I bend her knee so she can see, and she reaches down to touch it, remembering.
Oh, you did that.
What? I ask, like really surprised at her response.
Seriously, you don't remember?
She asks. Seriously, no. She laughs and says,
you remember the Selling Smiles goldfish thing, and you don't remember how I got the scar?
I really don't know. When did it happen? She huffs out another tiny laugh and says,
you know when you and Scotty and Evan all decided that you were going to be volunteer firefighters?
You mean when we were like 10?
Yeah. And you idiots would ride around on your bikes going woo, woo, woo.
In fairness, I think it was only Evan who went woo, woo, woo. She laughs again. She should. That was a good one.
And you'd... I feel like I remember that... Didn't you guys actually set fires so you could go put them out?
I put on an overly admonished face like a kid who's been busted for doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Maybe,
I squeak out.
Yeah, well, this was from the time you three were racing around the driveway at our place, just like going in circles for no reason, knuckleheads. And I came out to tell Scotty it was time for dinner, and you didn't see me or whatever, and you skidded to a stop but wound up kind of rolling up the back of my leg. You really don't remember this?
No. No, I kind of do? I don't know. I remembered the nice one. Cut me some slack. She rolls her eyes.
Well, whatever. You took a huge chunk of skin off the back of my heel, and that's what that's from.
I examine it again more closely, really favoring it and kissing it. Trying to go back in time 20 years and make it not happen. I'm sorry, I say. That's probably why I don't remember.
Why?
Because it caused you pain. She gives me a look like you give someone when you care about them but can't believe what an idiot they are. I'm so sorry. I was an asshole.
You still are,
she says, smirking.
But don't feel bad. I loved that injury. Seriously, I loved it so much. Probably why the scar is even there.
What? What do you mean? Why?
Every time it would start to heal over and scab, I'd pull it off.
I study her face and ask,
how come?
She closes her eyes, kind of like she's embarrassed, and then says,
because you gave it to me.
That's it. Good night, fucking Irene. Staring at her ankle, I begin licking. My head is hidden from her view by the flowy canopy of black that is her dress, but I can see every part of her. And waiting, at the top of my journey, are the black lace panties she has on. The smell of her skin and her moist pussy swirls all around me, filling up my nostrils and making me fight back the urge to press my cock inside of her right this second. But if I can hold out... there'll be time for that after I've let my tongue taste what it wants. I lick my way up to behind her knee and start kissing her there. I swear the sound she makes when I do causes me to think that she's coming right now. Which can't be possible, or I suppose it could, and that would be wonderful and a nice trick to have up my sleeve to know that I can make her come by just touching her there. But I don't have long to think about it because suddenly I can feel her hand on the top of my head through the skirt, pushing my face up towards her pussy. Okay, that's no problem. Happy to oblige. I work my hands up the outside of her thighs, reach the lace with my fingertips, and draw her panties down around her ankles. She kicks at them with her feet, kneeing me in the face in the process.
Sorry,
I hear from somewhere out there in the air above my joy. All good, I call back and keep doing my duty. She drops one leg off the sofa and onto the floor, and now I have a full view of what has quickly become one of my favorite sights in the world. I have seen the Taj Mahal, the Roman Colosseum, Machu Picchu, all that Seven Wonders shit. None of it holds a candle to the wonder that is Maddie Clayton. I place my palms on the inside of her thighs so that I can spread her wider with my thumbs and allow my tongue to burrow itself inside her. And just as I'm about to place my mouth on her tender, bare pussy, I hear a rip. And before I can ask, what was that? Her hand comes shooting down into view, her index and middle fingers landing on her clit. Did you just rip your dress open? I ask. She ignores the question, and her hand pushes my head forward before landing back on her clitoris again. I decide the only decent thing to do is to help her out, so I let my tongue stroke against the swollen flesh in time with her rubbing, alternately sliding it inside the pink walls of her pussy, lapping up the wetness that's starting to spill from her in torrents now.
His beard tickles my inner thighs. That feels so good, I moan. I pull my hand away, giving his mouth better access, and slide my fingertips through his hair as his tongue flicks against my clit. And just when I think this moment could not feel any better, he places his whole mouth against me and sucks. Jesus, I whisper. Don't ever stop. A breath of air tells me he's laughing and happy about pleasing me, which makes me want to please him. I want your cock in my mouth, I say. He tisks his tongue, probably not meaning to drive me wild, but it does. I arch my back and fist his hair just as he says, plenty of time for that later. So I lie back and enjoy it. I have no choice. Because Tyler Morgan has taken a master class in eating pussy, or something. Every lick, every sweep of his tongue, every movement of his chin, all of it has me on the edge. And then his fingers join in. My eyes roll back into my head. I lose time, I'm sure of it. I float somewhere unreal, somewhere between then and now, somewhere dreamy and beautiful and... Don't come yet, he murmurs, making my clit vibrate with his words. And I want to say, don't worry, you can just make me come again, and be selfish, and take everything he's offering. But I hold back. I hold it in because if I come now, it will upset the perfect balance of ecstasy he's created. It's just that I can't hold on much longer. So I wiggle my hips a little, and his tongue finds its way inside my pussy again, as my fingertips wander down between my legs like they're in charge of what happens next. Which is me, playing with myself, as Tyler pushes his tongue in deeper, as my fingers find their rhythm on my clit. And all I can think of is, I never want this to end.
She rubs harder, and I stretch my tongue as far as I can, almost separating it from the inside of my mouth, straining as I swirl it around inside her. And on cue, her thighs come crashing together against my head, pinning me there, forcing me to stop moving but allowing me to stay bound to her with my mouth, which is all I want. The vibration of her quivering thighs against my cheeks has me rubbing my dick into the sofa, unconsciously emulating the gyrating muscles in her legs. Suddenly, she pulls herself back from my lips, drawing the skirt up as she does, exposing my head to the room. She presses her foot into my shoulder, forcing me to a kneeling position on the floor, and before I know it, She's pushed me all the way onto my back, picked her skirt up, and is mounting my throbbing cock. I can now see the rip she made in the top of her dress, and it makes my cock throb harder. It's torn down to her stomach, exposing her taut muscles and her magnificent tits, still wrapped in the black bra she's wearing. I reach behind her and, with a trick I learned back in high school and have never gotten sick of pulling out of my bag, in a snap of my fingers, I've unfastened the latch and freed her breasts from their confinement. She gasps and her eyes get wide for a second before she smiles and plants her mouth on mine.
"Is that what I taste like?"
she asks, sucking at my lips with hers. "Does it taste better than anything you've ever had in your mouth before? Then yes." She bends her legs back, locking her calves to the inside of mine, allowing her the anchor she needs to grind my cock back and forth, pulling her ass down my thighs until I'm almost out of her, and then rolling her hips forward and consuming me again. Back and forth, back and forth.
I reach up, grab both my breasts, and squeeze. Tyler watches me, stupid grin on his face, which just makes me happy in ways I can't describe. "You like that?" I ask. "Do you like when I play with myself?"
"I like it better when it's me."
He winks. I lock eyes with him, stare into him as I raise one breast up towards my chin. He tilts his head to the side as if to say, "You gonna go there?" And I do. I go there. I lower my mouth to my nipple and swirl my tongue around, mimicking the way his tongue was swirling between my legs just moments ago. And when my lips descend and I pull the hard nub into my mouth, we start fucking again. Hard. Like I made him forget for just a second what he was doing, but now he's remembered. His hands grip my hips, pushing me back and pulling me forward as I continue to make my tongue dance over the peaked tip of my nipple. And I love it. I want him to leave marks on my skin. I want to look down later tonight or tomorrow or next week and see bruises that bring it all back fresh in my head. I want to cherish those marks the way I cherish that scar on my ankle. I want to make memories with him. This makes me stop what I'm doing. Not because anything's wrong. Not because there's so much to be worried about right now and we're here at my house having sex. But because I just want to look at him. I place my palms flat on his cheeks, study the colors in his eyes.
"What?"
he asks.
"What's wrong?"
I shake my head and smile. "Nothing," I say. "Nothing at all." And it's true. It's perfect. I take a mental picture for myself, to go with the possibility of bruises on my hips. Then I tuck it away for another day, and resume our rhythm.
On the next surge forward, I grab her around the waist and stop her moving. I put my mouth on her breasts and nibble at her pert, puckered nipples, making her struggle to get free. But I won't let her go free. I will insist on keeping her here. Because I know that I won't be able to keep her forever. I know that ultimately she will do what it is she wants, and while I will be there for her always, she is not mine to keep. So I savor this moment when she is. For this brief parcel of time, she is all mine. No one else's. I pull back to look at her and stroke her hair out of her face.
"I love you," I say.
"I love you too,"
she says back. And then she shrugs like, "What are you gonna do?" And I smile, grab her ankles, and begin moving her back and forth on my dick like she was doing herself moments ago. She leans forward, puts her hands on my chest, and allows her hair to collapse in my face, shrouding me once again. Her forehead is against mine, and she whispers,
"I'm gonna come again. Will you come with me?"
I don't answer, just tighten my grip around her legs and force her forward and back along my cock with a frantic push and pull. She's so wet that I think she's going to slide right off me and across the floor. The best water park ride in history.
I'm gonna come again. I'm gonna come again. Please, please come with me. I want you to come with me.
And even though I know she just means here, now, I decide that what it means to me is more than that. I decide that it means I will always come with her, wherever she goes. Anytime she may be in need or want, she will never have to ask me to come with her because I'll already be there. But in this moment, I will also grant what she asks.
Yes, yes,
I whisper out on a gasping breath.
Always.
And as she gushes out around me, I explode into her. Our heads still touching, our mouths open against each other, sharing each other's oxygen. We are unified. We are bound. We are one. And no one has to declare it. We know.
Chapter 7. Maddie. So, there was a phone call. There was a lot of yelling. On Tyler's part, not mine. Because even though he said, yeah, cool, when I asked him if he was cool, he wasn't. Which I forgave him for. Because this is kind of a difficult, stressful, life-altering kind of thing happening to us, and it wasn't a lie. He was just trying to wrap his head around my decision to take down a drug lord. I sigh. So there was a phone call in which Tyler threatened to rain hellfire down on Ricky if anything happened to me. And the threat was directed to poor Emily, the person on the other end of the phone, not even Ricky. And the only reason he was going along with this crazy-ass idea was because I was a strong, capable woman who, if it came down to it, was one of two people he'd trust with his life, the other being Evan. And then there was a lot of mumbling about all the other guys in the firehouse, because he felt he'd somehow slighted them and he didn't want to give the wrong impression. You know, typical Tyler. And at the end of the phone call, after he said, "Yes, we're in," he hung up, and he looked at me for a long moment. And then he said, "No," and shook his head and was already pressing the redial icon on his phone. So I took the phone from him, slowly, carefully, like he was a frightened wild animal caught in a trap. And any wrong move would send him thrashing again. And I said, "We have time to say no. We don't have to do it now." Because I wanted him to know, if it really came down to it, and he decided that the head wrapping around the talking down a drug lord thing was over, and his answer really was no, not yes, then okay, I'd live with it. And somehow, I don't really know how, he got that out of my two short sentences that said nothing of the sort. So, currently, we're parked outside a strip mall filled with empty storefronts, save one. But there's no sign, just some windows blacked out with shoe polish or whatever they use to black out windows, trying to decide if now is the time to stick with yes or change our minds. Because suddenly, I'm not so sure either. "You need to do this," he asks. I consider my answer carefully, because even though I will say, "Okay, we'll stand down," if he says no, he'll say, "Okay, we're going in," if I say yes. It's weird to be on such equal ground with someone. Someone's partner, I guess. But it's completely awesome at the same time. It's called, like, mutual respect or some shit like that, I think. It's a pretty new feeling for me. So. "I think," I start to say, but then stop, because I need to say this right. There's no room for mistakes or misunderstandings. "I think of all the people Carlos Castillo has hurt. And then I try to add in Logan, too. But I can't stop there, you know?" I look at Tyler, who has a serious, solemn expression on his face. Almost sad. "I have to then think about all the other people who work for Carlos, and all the people those people have hurt in his name. And that's before I even get to Pete and Jeff. So I gotta ask myself." I swallow down the sadness creeping into my voice. "I gotta ask myself, how many Tylers and Maddies came before us who had a chance and didn't take it? And how many other people got hurt because they couldn't or wouldn't take a stand? And how many more people will get hurt if we say no,
and just try to live with it. Tyler nods, understanding. Yeah, is all he says. But, he shakes his head. I mean, you're right. Of course you're right. It's just you. He trails off and doesn't finish it. Maybe because he's worried I might take it the wrong way. Like he thinks I'm weak and can't handle this, which is stupid. I am weak. Physically, I suppose. I mean, compared to the men I'm up against, it's just physiology. And I probably can't handle this. I'm a wedding planning, dog treat baking, drone flying stripper. Not a secret agent or whatever. So I'm not offended. Because I know he thinks I'm super strong in other ways. Because I am. Or maybe he doesn't finish saying it because he can't bear to think of what could happen to me. And let's be real. Killing me isn't the worst thing Carlos and Logan could do. And no one will be there. Not really. Ricky won't be able to save me. I don't care how many agents or whoever are waiting nearby. I don't care if they have helicopters or drones of their own spying overhead. I'll be all alone in that compound. With an insane killer who has a thing for me. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. For sure. So, Tyler interrupts my thoughts. What are we doing? And I nod my head. We get out of the car, holding hands as we walk to the door surrounding the shoe polish windows. There's a camera over the door, so it opens as we get to the threshold, and then we're across and inside. We're entering a new life, holding hands, scared, probably for very different reasons. And the door closes behind us.
Hey, thanks for coming, says Ricky.
He's wearing gym clothes, a tight t-shirt that shows off his muscles and some cut-off sweats. Which makes sense in context, because there are blue mats on the floor and some kickboxing bags hanging from steel beams overhead, and weight machines and stuff. Tyler doesn't answer Ricky. He's busy taking it all in.
Fuck is this shit? Tyler says, panning his hand around.
This is Emily, says Ricky, gesturing to the young woman next to him.
She's about my age, which surprises me. I don't know why I thought she'd be older. She's not wearing any makeup, but is still very pretty. Like Ricky, she's also wearing shorts and a t-shirt. She's got on a baseball cap and has a long, blonde ponytail pulled through the opening in the back. Honestly, she looks more like a sorority girl going to a charity softball game than a DEA agent. I also notice she's staring at Ricky, but trying not to at the same time. She extends her hand and says, "We talked on the..." Tyler walks past her outstretched hand and keeps yelling,
"No! No, what the fuck is all this?"
He gestures at the equipment and punches one of the heavy bags.
"Shit! What happened to... It's not a combat op, it's just intel gathering."
Ricky raises his hands.
"It is intel gathering, and we're going to go over all that. How we want her to do it. What we want her to ask. How she gets out of situations she's not comfortable in. All that. But just in case she needs it, we'd like her to have a few tricks she can use."
"Tricks? Oh, fucking David Copperfield, Jesus!"
Tyler stalks around the space for a moment, kind of walking in circles. The three of us watch him. Emily starts.
"And what the fuck are you even doing here?"
Tyler shouts, stomping over to Ricky and shoving his finger in Ricky's face.
"I thought you were in deep cover,"
he says, drawing out the words "deep cover" mockingly.
"I am,"
says Ricky coolly.
"In fact, I'm on a job for Carlos right now, picking up $4.6 million that's owed to him by someone whose name you probably know. Or that's where he believes me to be."
Tyler gives a slow clap.
"Oh, yeah? Well, who fucking raw for you, pal? But you know something? You sure as shit don't look like a fucking drug dealer to me. Know what you do look like?"
"What's that?"
"A fucking DEA agent who I don't fucking trust."
Ricky nods.
"Fair enough. No reason you should, brother."
Tyler stiffens at the last word in that sentence.
"I ain't your fucking brother. Know what? Fuck it. Let's just do this shit. Who's this?
He points at Emily. Emily looks at Ricky, who shakes his head a bit like, don't make a thing out of it. I'm Emily, she says. We talked on-
Yeah,
says Tyler, walking past her and sitting down on an old leather couch next to a couple of mismatched chairs and a table with fruit on it for some reason. Ricky turns to me now.
You okay?
I nod at him, feigning a confidence that he can surely tell is bullshit.
Emily?
He says, putting his hand out, gesturing for her to take the floor. Emily nods and steps forward. So, she says, before Tyler shouts.
And who the fuck is this? Looks like she just showed up from fucking rush week.
Tyler, I say to him, with a clenched jaw. He gives me a look. I respond with a wide-eyed stare, and he nods and twists his head around in resignation. I see the kid I knew before, and the man I know today all at once, and I almost smile. Almost. But I'm pulled back into the now by Emily, saying, mostly what we want to do today is give you some basic hand-to-hand skills you can use in the event things happen that require you to engage in force. Like, what kind of things are you thinking about? I ask her. She glances at Ricky, who nods slightly. Like any number of things, she says. You mean, like rape? I say. It's not a question. She takes a breath and nods. Can I ask you something? I say to her. Of course. How long have you been doing this job? I've been an agent for 2.5 years. And have you ever done anything like what I'm about to do? She looks at Ricky again. Don't look at him, I say to her. I'm the one asking you the question. Have you ever done anything at all like what I'm about to do? Put yourself in a situation where you're basically bait. No, ma'am, I haven't. I stiffen at that. How old are you? I ask her. 25. Yeah, me too. Please don't call me ma'am. I don't say it in a snarky way, but this whole thing is already weird enough without somebody I could have partied with in college calling me ma'am. But, Emily says, I was captured and held captive for 11 days in Sao Paulo by the Comando Vermelho and managed to extract myself and reach safety without being raped or murdered. So there are some ideas I feel like I can contribute. I glance at Tyler, who raises his eyebrows with a look that says, well, shit, okay. I look back at Emily. All right, then, I say. She smiles, a tight, official government smile. Over the next couple of days, you and I will talk about everything. Any questions you have, ways in which you can insulate yourself once you're inside, etc. But since Ricky can only be with us for today...
Deep cover,
Ricky interrupts, and glances over at Tyler, who gives Ricky the finger. Since Ricky is only here for today, Emily continues, we want to work on some self-defense tactics in the highly unlikely event you need to utilize them. The fact that she stresses highly unlikely so much makes me highly nervous, which is probably the opposite effect she intended for it to have. I swallow and say, okay, again. Ricky steps up and says,
there are some gym clothes in a changing area over there.
He nods to the back.
You feel like putting those on and then giving a few things a try?
Sure. In for a gram, in for a kilo, I joke. I'm not sure Ricky and Emily find it funny, but I don't care. It's my ass on the line. I head to the back, and as I'm walking by the sofa where Tyler is sitting, he stands, takes my arm, and whispers,
are you okay?
Yeah, I tell him. I'm good. Promise. He nods and gives me a kiss, and as I go to change clothes, I try to convince myself I mean what I said. The whole time I'm changing, I hear a sound I can't quite identify. And when I come back into the space, sporting completely unflattering shorts that are far too baggy on me, and a t-shirt that's 2 sizes too big, I find Tyler wearing boxing gloves, pounding the shit out of a heavy bag that's suspended from one of the steel beams. Stuffing is coming out with every strike he lands, and it looks like he's going to send it flying off its mooring at any second. Ricky and Emily stand back and watch with what looks to me like a bit of admiration. He's all sweaty, and I step up next to him, wiping moisture off his cheek. "Are you okay?" I whisper. He nods.
"Yep, too good," he says, then referencing to what I have on. "This is hot."
"Fuck you," I say with a smile.
"Okay,"
he says, and starts taking off his boxing gloves and heading to the back room where I changed. I grin, hit him on the shoulder, and turn to face Ricky and Emily. Ricky stands on a mat and asks,
"Have you ever taken any kind of self-defense course? Anything like that? Have any training at all?"
"Got approached about being a ring card girl for MMA once. That count?" I laugh. "Nobody else does." I clear my throat. Joking. Sorry, I mean, yeah, some."
"What was that?"
asks Ricky. "I took a little jiu-jitsu for a while."
"Okay,"
Ricky says. "Also some taekwondo, a little aikido, oh, and a few months of Wing Chun." Ricky and Emily stare at me. "I've tried lots of different stuff over the years." I shrug.
"All right," Ricky says on a breath. "Anything else?"
I think about it for a minute. Jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, aikido, Wing Chun. "Oh, yeah, and some Jeet Kune Do." More stares. "It's Bruce Lee's thing. Means way of the intercepting fist." I glance over at Tyler, who's smiling a huge, shit-eating grin. He winks, and I get kind of proud of myself.
"Okay," says Ricky. "Anything else?"
I shake my head. "Don't think so." "And how much of that have you retained?" asks Emily.
"Guess we'll find out," I say.
I step onto the mat and Ricky steps on with me.
"Have you ever had to defend yourself in a real-world environment?"
"What's the real world?" I respond. "I mean it. I don't know anymore." He nods at me, and then Tyler says,
"We know she can handle Unlucky Logan, so at least we have that going for us."
"What do you mean?"
asks Ricky.
"She kicked his stupid ass when he came to see her at Pete's a few weeks ago."
Ricky gets a surprised look on his face and says to me,
"You did that?"
I shrug. "I guess, yeah. I was pretty pissed off. I don't necessarily remember all of it. Everything kind of just went white, and the next thing I remember, Pete was pulling me off of him." Ricky shakes his head and chuckles. "What's funny?" I ask.
"He told us that Pete and his boys did that,"
Ricky says.
"Told Carlos he was checking in on you to see what kind of progress you were making with the money, and that Pete got in his face and things got out of control. Said two big bouncers jumped into the fight too, and he fought off all three of them."
"Dude," Tyler says, "Pete pulled Maddie off of him. That bitch would be telling no stories to anyone right now if Pete hadn't been there."
And at that, Ricky's face hollows. "What?" I ask him. "What?"
"That's the whole story Logan used to get Carlos to give him the green light on burning down Pete's."
"What?" I ask again, this time with more urgency in my voice.
"It wasn't Carlos's idea to burn it down. It was Logan's. He talked Carlos into giving the order by convincing him that Pete had insulted his family, which, of course, Carlos sees as an insult to him. And then when you factor in their history..."
That ringing sounded my ears as back.
"Fuck that fucking cunt," says Tyler,
which is the same thing I'm thinking.
"Okay, well,"
Ricky starts to say. "Let's go," I blurt out. My whole body feels like it itches.
"What?"
asks Ricky. "Let's go, right now. We're gonna train? Let's train. Come on, come at me. Let's fucking do this." "Maddie, why don't you..." That's Emily. But the look I shoot her stops her mouth. Then Ricky says,
"You sure?"
"Fuck yeah, I'm sure. Put me in a chokehold. Grab my pussy, whatever. Let's see who's made of what."
"Maddie," Ricky says, "one of the first things we'll actually want to address is your temper. It's not your friend. I know it feels like it is, but it's not."
He comes toward me with his arm out like he's gonna calm me down, and I flash back to the morning he drove me home to Vegas from Carlos's compound in... wherever the hell it is. Back before he was Richard the DEA agent, when he was just Ricky the drug-dealing scumbag.
"SAS tu problema. Tienes mal genio,"
he said to me then. "That's your problem. You have a bad temper. Yeah, Ricky. You're goddamned right I do. He reaches me with his outstretched hand and I grab